Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about, and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloths on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the morning of an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 10th chapter of Luke, verses 38 through 42. You've already had a pretty good preview of this story that is very familiar to all of us. And so we are invited to listen to this story, perhaps from a new place, from a new perspective, with new ears, to hear what the scripture says to us today. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, when needing an off-site long-term parking lot near the Tampa airport, we located one on Spruce Street. Now, even though we had been to the airport many times, and these were in the days when Peg was still traveling all over the country with her work, so I could pretty much drive to the Tampa airport and back with my eyes closed. I didn't now, but I think I could have. But we were not familiar with the streets in the area of the airport, and so We had to pull out our maps on our phones and get directions to this garage. And the directions said, take the Spruce Street exit. And that was kind of puzzling to us because we'd never seen such an exit as many times as we'd been to the airport. That is until we were looking for it. And sure enough, there it was, as big as ever, right in front of us on that big green sign. And we had been driving by it every time we went to the airport, but never really saw it. Now, in their own ways, our two scripture readings this morning are similar stories. Both are stories about missing the point, being distracted, not paying attention. Amos tells the people of Israel that they have been seduced by their prosperity while ignoring the needs of the poor. And Jesus tells Martha, she is worried and distracted by many things while missing the one thing that is needed. We live in a world of distractions. There always have been and always will be some things to draw our attention away from something else. We are attracted to whatever the next shiny object may be. In Eastern meditation practice, this is called a monkey mind. The monkey mind is when our thoughts race from one thought to another, and sometimes so quickly we literally lose track of our thoughts. And we find ourselves in one place and ask ourselves the question, now how did I get here? It's just like monkeys in the limbs of trees, going from one limb to the next limb to the next limb to the next limb. Hence the phrase, the monkey mind. And the practice of meditation is the process of letting our monkeys, letting our thoughts swing from one limb without grabbing the next one. And in practicing this, we eventually come to a place of calmness where the trees, the thoughts are calm and not frantic. And I would suggest that perhaps what Amos and Jesus are calling our attention to this morning are religious monkey minds. Those things in our religious practices, in our faith, that keep us going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And before you know it, we've lost our way. The Amos passage is a darker version of what happens when the monkeys take over. When we become so distracted, so disoriented, that we can't discern truth or justice, as Amos says. And Amos says, calls this a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. We are so frantic, we can't even know what the truth is. We can't recognize justice when it's right in front of us. And this is a dark picture, but my friends, it's an all too true picture of our world today. There's so many voices and images conveying so much information today that it is really difficult to know who and what to rely on. And if we get caught in a silo of only paying attention to one source of information, we are missing other information that contributes to the overall truth of our situation. Some of the graphic descriptions in Amos provides us an applicable view of our lives today. I want to reread this quote from Amos. This is a description of what a famine of the Word of God looks like. When will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the epheth small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. Let me translate. Forget religion. Let's get back to making money through deception. We'll make a pound look like an ounce and an ounce look like a pound. Then we'll tip the scales and we'll cheat the poor by selling the dregs at high prices. This is the world Amos describes. And this is how 1% of the people acquire 90% of wealth and middle classes begin to disappear. When we stop paying attention to the people's needs, when we stop caring about equality and justice, when we stop having empathy and compassion for one another and simply look after ourselves, we're in trouble. And tougher times make us get even more insular than ever. There's a scene from the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou?, which is one of my favorite films of all time, when Pete's cousin, Wash, turns Pete and Everett and Delmar over to the police. And Pete and Everett and Delmar are up in the loft of a barn, and they're about to get fired out of that barn. And Wash, who is Pete's cousin, has betrayed them. He has turned them over to the police for the reward. And he says to Pete, he says, "Sorry, Pete, I know we're kin, but they got this depression going on, and I got to do for me and mine." That is exactly the attitude that we find ourselves in during difficult times. We close down. We have to do for me and mine, and everybody else can take care of themselves. In that same scene in the movie and elsewhere, Everett says, "Damn, we're in a tight spot." Well, my friends, we're in a tight spot today, especially when so many people who claim to be Christian espouse disdain for truth, justice, equality, compassion, and genuine love for all people. If we define Christianity by the people who are claiming to be Christians in our country today, then I have to confess, I would just as soon not be one. The very words Christian nationalist or Christian nation or moral majority, even putting Christian on a business name, all of these are indications that there is a famine of hearing and living the teachings of Jesus today. Jesus himself makes this point in the story of Mary and Martha. However, too many times we even miss the point of the story about missing the point. Although it is preached and taught these many ways, at its core, this is not a story about different kinds of personalities and that there is room for everyone and that we need both Marthas and Marys for the world to work. Or it's a story about freeing women from housework. Yes, I've heard that one before. Nor is it a story about sibling rivalry. The point, and it's very clear, of this story is how we are distracted from the one thing we really need. And it clearly says, Jesus says to Martha, you need the one thing, and Mary is doing the one thing. And if you just back up a few sentences, what does it say Mary is doing? She is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he is saying. It echoes back to the commandment of the voice from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration. We seem to forget that part of the story. We get so caught up in all the shiny things about Jesus and Moses and Elijah shining and Peter and John arguing about building temples. We forget what the voice from heaven says. The voice says, this is my beloved chosen. Listen to him. It doesn't say believe in him and you'll go to heaven. It doesn't say you're going to have a prosperous life if you follow these particular rules. It says listen to him. Listen to Jesus. And this is what Mary's doing. Mary is sitting at the feet listening to Jesus. And Jesus says, Martha, you are distracted. The most radical thing a Christian can do is actually live the teachings of Jesus. Which, by the way, are also the teachings of Amos and Isaiah and Jeremiah et al. Gandhi once said, when he was asked about Christianity, he said, I like your Christ, but not your Christianity. The gospel Jesus preaches and calls us to follow is clear. It is concise, and it echoes the teachings and warnings of the prophets. And I quote the prophets, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is the year of Jubilee, which is a year of economic and social justice. This is what Jesus himself said, quoting Isaiah, when announcing his mission. God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. To paraphrase a meme on social media these days that kind of captures our religious dilemma today, it's better to be excluded for who we include than to be included for who we exclude. The way of Jesus is a way of inclusion, especially those who are being excluded. The way of Jesus is clear and concise and plain as day. You know what? It's a whole lot like that road sign to Spruce Street. It's been there all along, showing us the way. How much clearer could it be? Yet we flounder about in a famine where we cannot hear what we need to hear the most. Amen. Please be seated. You know, it really is that simple. If you just follow the progression of the song we just sang. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Well, how? Be more loving. Be more holy. Be like Jesus. The one thing that Jesus says Martha is lacking is to sit at his feet and listen. And if we will do that, then all the other things will begin to fall in place. But we must listen. We can't take our own needs and our own desires and our own prejudices and our own need to be superior or have power over others into it. We need to listen to Jesus. And when we do, most of us will be surprised. That's our call. That's our charge. Let us go from this place and listen. Amen.